Hi guys, welcome to the Struggling Sisters podcast.
Hi, guys.
That was my impression of you.
Oh, is that how I say it?
The Struggle, well, project podcast.
Because it feels like too many P words.
It's a lot of P words.
But I also don't like to not say podcast. What did you think? What's your opinion about the word podcast being in there?
Well, I'm just now thinking this. I don't think this every time I listen or anything. Wink, wink. No, just kidding. I really don't. But if I think it should be Welcome to the Struggle Well Project podcast. You have to say it. It's weird, huh?
It is
Yeah.
weird. I didn't think about that when I was rebranding. Like, I didn't say it out loud, or I may have, but I really like it. I like the idea of it being a project, but it's also still a podcast. But that's obviously you're listening to a podcast.
That's true. So I think you can, when you're on the pod, drop the pod. Okay? Try it.
Okay. I'll try
Give
it
it a try.
out. See what happens. If things start on fire and the whole thing goes down in flames, that's on you. Welcome back, ladies. You are listening to the Struggle Well Project podcast, the show dedicated to helping you not run away from home. Each week, I do my best to make sure you learn something new, laugh a whole lot, and remember that you are already enough. So, Halloween is officially behind us. Candy wrappers are everywhere, and my kids have none of the candy that I like anymore because I ate it all. Starbucks has their red cups out. I've got Lauren Daigle's Christmas music on repeat. Yes, I'm one of those people. I don't even care what you think about it. Because you don't have to be in my car all the time. And I get to. It's such a pleasure. So on Halloween, though, my neighbor girls always dress up, and I'm the one that doesn't. Not because I'm against dressing up, but I just usually don't want to spend the money on a costume. Seems like a lot of work. Well, this year, I basically bought Bumblebee pajamas, and then half of them didn't dress up. So then I guilted them into it, and then we were all dressed up, and all was right with the world. So it turns out dressing up is kind of fun. Okay, so last week, episode 158, my guest was Knox McCoy. We talked about his new book. We talked about how pop culture informs his faith. It was a really fun conversation. I would encourage you to go back and check that out if you missed it. At the top of the show, you heard a clip from the Struggling Sister show where my sister was making fun of me and how I talk, but it's okay. I wanted to take a moment to thank some of the special Patreon supporters that we have who get to listen to that extra content. I wanted to thank the Rebeccas. There were four of you. Rebecca Beaumont, Rebecca Brower, Rebecca Jacobs, and Rebecca Napier. I'm not sure if you noticed, there's a very prominent Rebecca missing. Dot, dot, dot. Pregnant pause. I don't know what you think about it, but I really hope that you would direct all your thoughts and concerns about that to Rebecca Smith online on Instagram. As you know, the Struggle Well Project focus this month is identity. And at the end of November, all of the Patreon people are going to be having a live meetup on Facebook to go over what do we learn? What questions do we have based on the printables they got on identity and what we talked about this month? You can get into that group for as little as $1 a month. Just go to patreon.com/strugglewellproject. We would love to see you there. That's where the really great community is happening, and we want you to be a part of it. So this week, I'm talking to Ann Taylor McNeese. She is a listener of the show who heard me talking about counseling and wanted to share more about counseling because she is a licensed therapist. And even more than being a licensed therapist, she is a Christian. Did you know those things could exist in the same person? I think sometimes we are skeptical of that, but I've gone on the record several times for saying Thomas family employs counseling and it helps us stay living in the same house. It's a really good thing. In this episode, we talk about how to find a counselor. We talk about the science behind depression. We also talk about body image and food obsession. And we also talk about which animals we think we could take in a fight. All right, let's go ahead and jump right in. Hi, Anne. How are you this morning?
Hi, Emily. I'm so excited to be here with you.
Yay. I'm so excited that you're here too. All right, so tell us who you are. Tell us about yourself.
Well, my name is Ann Taylor McNeese. I am a licensed marriage and family therapist, and I have a private practice in Southern California, where today it is supposed to be 110 degrees.
Really?
Yeah. So
wow.
I'll be in the air conditioning all day, seeing clients. And in between, I will be running home to see my three kids, who are 8 and 5 and 3. I have a girl and two boys and a fantastic husband who I've been married to for almost 15 years.
So you live close enough to be able to go home regularly throughout the day?
I live about 15 to 20 minutes from my office. So I try to, on a long day, I try to pop over and, you know, do the school pickup and sit a little bit.
You've been a therapist for how long?
About a decade, if you count the time when I was just first starting out in grad school.
Okay. What's different about that than you thought it would be, being a therapist?
I had all these dreams of helping people, especially couples. My heart is really for couples. And then I got to be a therapist. I got to be a mom. And it turns out that like couples want to come in the evening after somebody's done working. And it's real hard to be a couples therapist and have young kids because I want to be there in the evening for my kids. Okay. And then the whole thing with insurance and like people can't really afford therapy a lot of times. And so I'm really committed to taking insurance in my practice. But what that means is that some things aren't covered, like couples therapy, for example.
Oh, that's terrible.
And some people do get their couples therapy covered because they have a mental health diagnosis, but a lot of people are paying out of pocket for couples therapy, and that's a really big drain on a family's finances.
So as a therapist, you get to choose if you take insurance or not?
Yeah, I opened my practice last year. Before that, I was working in schools and agencies and different settings. And last year, I opened my private practice, and I went for 3.5 months without having a single client because I didn't take any insurance and I was just waiting for that perfect client that could afford me to come in. And then I signed up for a bunch of insurance panels and I was full immediately. Okay. So one of the things I like to do is help people understand what their insurance benefits are and how they can use them to get with the services that they need.
Because that is so confusing.
Yeah, it is totally confusing.
And when you're already not feeling good, you don't need to figure out insurance on top of
it. Right.
Yeah.
That's why I want to help.
Yeah, that's so good. Okay, so you reached out to me because you're a listener of the show and we talk periodically about counseling. Your email to me was perfect because I get the questions after an episode where we talk about counseling. I get the question, lots of emails going, but how do I find a counselor? And I'm always like, so yeah, it's perfect. I'm so glad that you reach out. So I have several questions about the counseling thing, but number one, how do we find one if we need one?
So I have a couple of thoughts about that. And like you said, I listen every single week and I'm like, every time somebody's talking about how they used counseling to get through something really hard, I'm like, yes, they're doing it. And they're getting the message out because there's some mom sitting in a church pew or hiding in her closet that needs to know that it's okay to be a Christian mom and to need help.
Yeah. Do you know that feeling when you just think all day about what it would be like to run away to a hotel and sleep in those comfortable beds? Tell me that's not just me. I'm happy to say I don't have to do that and you don't have to do that because Brooklinen sheets feel exactly like fancy hotel sheets. Brooklinen was started by a husband and wife who thought it was really jacked up that nice sheets cost so much money. Their method was to take out the middleman, and the result is we save a lot of money. Vicky and Rich, the owners, are involved in every step of the manufacturing process, and they have a customer service team that cares so much about the customers. What a great idea. My Brooklinen sheets are actually the very best, most comfortable sheets I've ever slept on. I have friends who said, "Are they really?" And I will have to say, they really are. Brooklinen.com is giving an exclusive offer just for my listeners. So get $20 off and free shipping when you use promo code SWP at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so sure that you're going to love their sheets that they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee. And, you guys, a lifetime warranty. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use promo code SWP at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com, promo code SWP. Brooklinen, these really are the best sheets ever. Okay, so let me back up even a little further.
Okay.
How do we know we need one and we're not just having a bad day or season or something?
Okay, that is a great question. I think when your bad days become more frequent than your good days would be a good clue. If there's anybody in your life that has said, hey, you know what, this might be beyond you. You might want to talk to somebody. Like, don't poo-poo that. Like, they might be onto something there.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, there's all those quizzes online. You can look at your symptoms and check them against, like, the criteria for mental health diagnoses. But a lot of times what we do is that like WebMD, like panic attack after you've read a symptom and you're sure you're dying of something. Mm-hmm. So I don't necessarily recommend that. But I mean, the most common things that people are going to be dealing with, I feel like in this stage of life, are probably going to be depression and anxiety. And depression symptoms are easy to spot because you will have more crying than you can explain. And it's not just when your period's starting. Mm-hmm. And you will have the low energy, like you just can't get out of bed. But yet when it's time to go to sleep, you can't fall asleep. And then you want to sleep until noon the next day. You don't have the will to do anything that you normally thought was pretty fun to do. You might be having a lot of thoughts of worthlessness, hopelessness, feeling like you're not a good mom, you're not a good wife, you're not a good employee, you can't do anything right. Like, those are all signs of depression. There's a few more, but I would say if you're having any of those, also we look for changes in your sex drive, changes in your appetite, maybe you've gained weight or lost weight, you're sleeping more or sleeping not enough.
You know, as you say all this stuff, so much of this is what happens when you have kids. Like,
yeah,
your sex drive changes, your weight changes, like you're tired, you know? So I can see how women would just think, oh my gosh, this is just the new normal. This is motherhood, but they may be depressed. Okay, so tell me about anxiety.
Okay, so anxiety, the symptoms are going to be a little bit different. It's going to be like you have a racing heart, shortness of breath. Maybe you're getting like stomach or bathroom issues because you are worried all the time. You have racing thoughts. It's hard to go to sleep at night. It's hard to make you do stuff that you would normally want to do because you're worried about it all the time. And it seems like you didn't used to be so worried about stuff. And the funny thing is you can have depression and anxiety at the same time, and then you're just all a mess. I mean, that's what it feels like inside. Mm-hmm. But the good thing is that both depression and anxiety are highly treatable with therapy. And sometimes you need medication too, but we have really good response with like cognitive behavioral therapy, a couple other methods that really help with those two diagnoses. And I would say the other thing to keep in mind is that after you have a baby, we're getting more and more information and research about postpartum mood disorders and anxiety disorders. And like, your world has just been turned upside down. And it's okay if you never thought you had a mental health problem or an emotional problem in the past, and then you had a baby and now you're a total wreck. There are actually a network of other therapist mamas across the country that are specializing in maternal mental health that are the perfect people to be able to understand what you're going through and help you with some of those postpartum issues.
I love that. What's that network called?
You know what? I will have to look that up and put that in show notes with you.
That's so good. Okay. So talk to me about, we are Christians. We should pray more. We are failing if we need to see someone else.
Yeah. I get that.
I mean, I obviously don't agree with that, but I gotta be honest. Like, I think other people, that's not true for them, but sometimes I still feel like it's true for me. And I've been very open about how I go to counseling.
Yeah. And I'm really glad that you are, Emily, because that makes a difference for everybody listening to feel like, okay, maybe I can do that too, because I'm a Christian and she's a Christian. And I'm really blessed to have earned my master's degree from a seminary. So I got a real big focus on the integration of faith and clinical practice. So I consider that one of my specialties. A lot of therapists are a little bit shy about incorporating faith because they think, oh, that's not what my state board wants me to do. But I think you do what is best for your client within the scope of your practice. But I will like to address the problem of even some churches. I just had a person reach out today saying, my church is saying that counseling and psychological theories and medication are all not biblical, and as Christians, we shouldn't use them. And I just feel so sad in my heart for people that are getting that message, because I really, when you look at how our brain works, we even have like SPECT scans and different kinds of brain scans that can show you a depressed person's brain actually operates differently than somebody who is not depressed. And when you can actually look at the brain structure and see a difference there, then it's probably a biological cause for their depression, which is exacerbated by their life circumstances. So if there is a biological cause, why would we treat it any differently than we would treat another illness like diabetes or cancer or something like that? We use whatever is in our tool bag to be able to beat the thing.
Oh, it's just got such a stigma, though. Like, I have such a hard time even getting past it. And I understand that. And I would say I totally buy into it, but then for me, it feels different.
Well, it really may depend on the community you surround yourself with as well. Like, I'm blessed to go to a church where my pastor is also a licensed counselor. And so we can chat about things. And there's never anybody that is shamed for seeking counseling. And I get a lot of requests from people in my church. I don't see people in my church. It's kind of a small church. And I don't want to, like, go and know all of your counseling business and then worship with you on a Sunday morning. But I do get requests from people who are saying, who can I see in the community that's going to honor my faith and be able to help me with my mental health? And so I think as a Christian counselor, part of my job is to really network with the other counselors in my community so that I can help Christians find the right people.
Yeah. Okay. So how do we find the right people?
Well, there's a couple of ways. One is, if you do happen to go to a church where counseling is accepted, usually pastors are good with connecting with resources. And if you're a pastor or a pastor's wife and you haven't connected with a counselor in your community, I would really advise you to do that and start reaching out and making those networks, because there are people that are going to come to you in seminary. A lot of pastors get a couple of counseling classes. It doesn't cover the whole scope of what a counseling program would cover. And so there's always going to be some things that need a pastoral touch, but there will be some things that are beyond what a pastor is capable or really should handle with somebody's mental health. So I would say, like, a pastor is a good first line of defense. And then if your pastor doesn't have a list of counselors in your area, or your pastor is not somebody who advises counseling, then one of the things I would do is look at your insurance list if you are going to be using insurance to pay for your counseling. So, for example, if you have, let's say, like Blue Cross or Blue Shield or something, you could call or go on their portal. You could look up a list of counselors in your area. A lot of times you can filter based on certain requirements. So you maybe want somebody who is a female instead of a male, or vice versa. You want somebody who is a Christian. And a lot of the insurance panels will let us demarcate that on our applications to say that we are Christians and that we like to see Christian people, or that we have a specialty in that area.
Okay.
You can also filter based on whatever the issue is that you're facing. So if it's like family problems, or if it's depression, or if it's you just had a recent adoption or something, sometimes the insurance panels will let you find specialties based on what you're actually dealing with.
Okay.
So that would be my number two suggestion, is look at what you can get paid for. And then my number three suggestion, it's kind of silly because, like, I don't believe everything that Psychology Today puts out there. They have a magazine that sometimes is controversial, but they have a really good resource on their website, psychologytoday.com. There's a tab at the top that says Find a Therapist. You can put in your zip code and it'll bring up a list of therapists in your area. Now, the same like with your insurance panel, you can filter based on gender, based on zip code, based on specialty, based on which insurance they take, based on religion, everything that you think you might want to have specific to your counselor, you can put in there. And then whoever is left after the filters, like, those are your first people that you contact.
That's great. Okay, so I have a question. Say you went to a counselor, you did all that work, you went to a counselor. It doesn't feel like a great fit. How do you know if you're just not liking the process, or, you know, kind of resisting that, or it's not a good fit with them?
It is totally okay to try a therapist out and go to somebody else. It's a bit of a process when you do that because you do have to fill out paperwork and you do have to have an initial session and tell your whole story. But I would agree that if it's not the person for you and something about that person bothers you or doesn't jive with you in some way, then it's really good idea to keep looking because this is something that could just really change your life if you get the right person. So it's okay to shop around. But I do know for me, I've been in counseling a lot and I've had a lot of different counselors over the years. And there have been some that I liked and some that I didn't like. And sometimes I just hung in there with the person I didn't like as much because I wanted to see if somebody with a different style could open up something in me that hadn't previously been accessed.
Do you find that it typically ended well, like the pushing through?
I think that I did learn different things about myself than I would have with somebody that was just like me. They're not my best memories of therapy.
Okay. So you have switched people before when you needed to?
Yeah. Okay. Definitely.
As a counselor, can I just ask you, does that hurt your feelings?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Sometimes you feel like a sigh of relief, like, oh my gosh, I really didn't connect with that person and I didn't have like a good reason to discharge them. So I'm glad that they chose to discharge themselves.
Okay.
So, but I think in my intake paperwork, I have a policy that says we have a termination session. So I really try to get people not to break up with me without telling me why.
Okay.
Because it really does feel like a breakup. So, for example, I have somebody coming in today that had emailed me and said, I'm not coming anymore. And I had all of those feelings of, oh my gosh, I messed something up. Like, what did I screw up with this person? And so I emailed back and said, hey, remember that thing about the termination session? And he said, oh, yeah, I'll come back in. So now today we get a chance to talk about why he needed to end and if it wasn't a good fit or if he was just at a different place.
Okay. Taking a quick break from my talk with Anne to tell you about PrepDish. You know about PrepDish. I tell you about it all the time. But in case you're new here or in case you still need a little convincing, PrepDish is a service that I use here in this Thomas house, and Allison's tagline sums it right up. You shop once, prep once, and enjoy healthy, stress-free meals all week. Now, these meals are paleo or gluten-free. You get to choose which one. And if that's not how you eat, that's totally fine. It just gives you a base that you know is healthy and made of whole foods. And you can add whatever bread you want to it. This week, we're going to be having some cucumber dill salmon. I can't even wait. My kids won't. They still don't understand how amazing salmon is. But I'm fine with that right now because that's more salmon for me and my husband. There's a pear, hazelnut, and blue cheese salad. And then the dessert is cranberry orange cookies. The founder, Allison, is going to give you 2 weeks free. Give it a try. I promise. It is so easy. She makes my shopping list for me. She like doesn't even know that she's my personal assistant. It is so worth it, this membership. So if you want Allison to make your shopping list too, go to prepdish.com/SWP. That's prepdish.com/SWP. Everybody's house is different, but in this house, in this Thomas house, there are a lot of feelings going on. We all love each other, but we don't always like each other. But can I tell you something that resets the whole situation when it's more of a dumpster fire than not? Is listening to books on Audible. And there's no better place to listen than Audible because now Audible members get even more. They get exclusive audio fitness programs, audiobooks, and Audible originals. Audible has the largest selection of audiobooks on the planet now. You can't beat that. And now with Audible originals, the selection has gotten even more custom with content made just for members. You know, in the Thomas house, every single Harry Potter has been listened to multiple times. Every month, Audible members get one credit good for any audiobook they choose, plus two Audible originals from a changing selection that you can't get anywhere else. What I love is that your books are yours to keep. You can go back and re-listen anytime, even if you cancel your membership. If you don't like an audiobook, just exchange it. No questions asked. Side note, I have done that before, and they did not ask me any questions. Start a 30-day trial and get your first audiobook for free. Go to audible.com/SWP or text SWP to 500-500. So again, go to audible.com/SWP or text SWP to 500-500. So, well, before we keep going, is there anything else about that you want to talk about? I wanted to move on to like body image and food obsession stuff.
Yeah, there was one other thing that okay. when I was in the worst depressive episode of my life, it was I had just gotten married. I had moved from sunny California to icy, cold, gray Minnesota.
Oh, wow.
Didn't know anybody. And I quickly, within the first 2 months of my marriage, sank into the deepest depression that I've ever been in. And I would just lay on the floor and I like cut out Bible verses and pasted them to my walls, and I would just lay on the floor and stare at them all day long. And I literally could not get myself up, find a counselor, and make that phone call. And so I had a friend from church who was like, you know what, Ann, I'm going to do this part for you. And she did the research. She made the appointment for me. She helped me get there. And then that was like the turning point for me being able to recover from that depression. Mm-hmm. And so I know a lot of counselors who will not make an appointment for somebody else. Like if your aunt called or your friend called or something, they'll say, no, I need to talk to the client themselves. And I get that. But I also get having been there where I really physically could not have done that. Mm-hmm. And so if there's somebody in your life who can do that for you, it's okay if they need to do that for you and that you trust them with that. And sometimes there's a really rewarding therapy experience that comes out of that, even when you're not the one that initiated it.
That's really good. What are you seeing as far as like, as a therapist, are you seeing people improve? Like, are you changing lives or are you just hearing the same stories every week and people aren't making any changes?
Well, I have that talk with everybody when they first come and sit on my couch, like, you're going to get out of it what you put into it. So if you just go through the motions and sit on my couch, then you're probably going to feel the same as you did when you came in. But if you really dig in with me and you do the hard work of therapy, then you're going to change. And miraculously, people do. And sometimes I feel like, gosh, anybody could do this job. Like, why did I have to get a master's degree and 3,000 hours of internship for this? But then I get an email yesterday from somebody that had to discontinue therapy because she was moving. And she said, Ann, you changed my life. And I just want to say thank you. And I don't feel like I necessarily did anything special. I was just there and God was there and she got better. You know?
Yeah. Wow. That's so meaningful. I love that you're getting to see such an impact.
And also with couples too, like, people come in and they are ready to end their marriages. And for some reason, couples therapy is like the last resort when it really should be more of a preventative thing. Like when my husband and I were in couples therapy during our first year of marriage, my in-laws were certain that we were going to get a divorce because only people who are close on the brink of divorce are going to couples therapy. And I said, no. It's like when you have a car. And if you run it into the ground, then your engine's going to blow up and then you have a $3,000 fix. But if you change the oil and you do the maintenance on a regularly scheduled basis, then your car runs great for years and years and years. Mm-hmm. And a marriage is the same way, and even us as individuals. But I think marriage therapy can be really scary, especially for guys. So I think if you do kind of like the regularly scheduled maintenance on your marriage, then you don't ever have those major blow-ups.
Yeah, that's really good. My husband and I did kind of a marriage ministry at our church when we first started going 6 years ago, and we were fine. I mean, we weren't great, but we weren't terrible. We were just regular, I guess. And it really did help a whole lot.
It's amazing.
We could probably do with a tune-up, I think. We could do with an oil change.
We all can.
Right, totally. Okay, so you mentioned to me that one of the struggles that you have kind of been on the other side of is body image and food obsession.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask, like, what does that look like for you? And I think most all of us, I mean, we feel like our bodies could look a little nicer, but there's a difference, right? And so how do we know, like, we've got an issue with food obsession and body image versus we're a regular person who wishes we had tighter thighs or whatever?
For me, I definitely don't think I'm on the other side of this yet. I still struggle constantly with food thoughts. I'm okay with my body sometimes, and then other times I'm like saying hateful things towards it.
Yeah.
And in reality, my body does a lot of amazing things. Like, I birthed three babies and, you know, I've run races and, you know, like it does like amazing things, but it doesn't always look the way that I want it or behave the way that I want it to when I eat carbs. But
yeah,
one of the things I did recently to help with this issue is I did find a new therapist that practices EMDR. And
Love me some EMDR.
Yeah, I think you've talked about that before. If you don't know what that is, it stands for eye movement desensitization and reprocessing. And basically, like when you're sleeping and you're in REM and your eyes go back and forth really fast, that's when your brain is like processing and categorizing and storing all the information you got from that day or even from previous days. And when you do EMDR and your eyes move back and forth, they're following like a little light or even the therapist's finger, your brain is processing traumatic information in a new way. And so I wanted to get trained in this, but I wanted to try it out before. So I found a therapist and we started working on body issues and I just cried and cried and cried and cried.
Isn't it the craziest thing?
And I had some really good breakthroughs. Like some sessions were kind of like, okay. And then one or two sessions were just so amazingly breakthrough that I really felt like the Holy Spirit was right there with me in the room. Nothing to do with the counselor or anything. It's just like, that's the place that I needed to go with the Holy Spirit while I was doing this process.
Yeah.
And speaking to me, like scripture after scripture was popping up, talking to me about, you know, like forgiveness of myself, my previous self, my 18-year-old self that didn't know any better, that gained 30 pounds in freshman year. Like, like all of that stuff was coming up. So I do feel like, you know, I just have to be really diligent. This is a lifelong struggle for me since puberty started, that had body image issues. And I just have to keep working through it and keep coming back to God and keep working on it with him, because it's not something that's going away easily.
Yeah. Okay. So all in all, would you recommend EMDR? Are you going to start doing it with your clients?
It's a really expensive training.
Okay.
And you have to take 8 days away from your family.
Okay.
So I am looking at doing that in the next couple of years, but maybe not when I have a 3-year-old at home.
Valid. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it is so good. I love EMDR. It really has helped me in a lot of relationships. Ladies, we're getting older every day. I don't want to burst your bubble, but your skin is not going to be looking too great if you don't take care of it. And I want to tell you about a really great product that I use called BioClarity. It's good for your face and it also works. Do you ever notice that sometimes things that are green don't actually work? Well, this is both. So that's why I love it. Ever since I got my nose pierced, which I'm still super pumped about, it's kind of changed the way I've washed my face. I'm trying to be a little more careful about it, and that's resulted in some breakouts. And so BioClarity is really helping me with that. I really didn't think I was going to have breakouts as an almost 40-year-old, but it's fine. It's fine. The Clear Skin Routine, which I use, has 3 easy steps. It soothes my skin with chamomile, green tea, cucumber, but then it also has Floralex in it, which is an antioxidant, and it has anti-inflammatory properties. So it feeds my skin from the outside in, kind of like a green smoothie for your face. Much more effective and less messy than actually putting a green smoothie on your face. So get started on healthier habits with your own skincare. Go to bioclarity.com. My listeners will get their first month for half off, plus the shipping is free. It comes with a 100% risk-free money-back guarantee, but you need to enter my code SWP. That's bioclarity.com and enter my code SWP. So what is helping? Because you also mentioned struggling earlier with depression. Is that related to the food and the body image for you?
I think there's probably some connection, but I think that the depression is probably more biological for me. I think I don't process serotonin in the same way that an undepressed brain does. So like I took Zoloft for several years, just because, you know, some people say when they take a medication like that, that I don't want to feel numb, you know, and I'm like, oh, I don't feel numb. The feelings were all too much for me. So like to take like the edge off of it, to feel like normal, like I could function through a day without crying, was really important to me. And so I think what I mentioned to you earlier is that with depression, I feel like when it first hits, you don't know what this is or what to do with it. And as you have more episodes over the course of your life. At least what has been true for me is that each one has been a little bit less severe.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's like a biological change or it's because I kind of know what to do with it now. Like, oh, I'm starting to feel that way. I'm going to make an appointment with my counselor. I'm going to spend a little while. I think maybe I'll talk to my doctor about getting back on meds. I think I need to say no to some activities and get a little more rest. I need to make sure I have some good family time and social time with friends. You know, I put up some more boundaries when I feel like I'm starting to slip into a depression.
Yeah, that's good. I have gotten better at it as well. And usually I can manage it pretty well. It's funny because recently I just feel like I'm struggling, but it's harder for some reason this time to like get my arms back around it. But
yeah, I think we go through that sometimes. It's different every time.
It is. I wish we could just figure out how to sort it out, but then we wouldn't need God. And that, you know, so for me, this has been a really sweet time of just remembering, no, I need to depend on you, and this is a good thing. This is not me failing because I need to depend on you. This is me being where you want me to be.
Yeah, and God can really show you some things in those times and really make some imprints on your heart that, like, maybe you wouldn't if you were, like, all happy and busy and going about your day.
Very true, because I know me. I will just pile more and more stuff on until I literally have to run away from home. That is not the tagline of the show because I think it's funny. It's like me trying to not run away from home.
I get it.
Just yesterday, I was like, where could I go? Do I have a credit card? And where, like, what flight could I get on? I don't even know why. I just think, like, I gotta get out of here. This is too much. Oh, man. I have issues. I have issues, Anne.
Don't we all?
Yes.
That's why we get into this kind of stuff, right?
That's true. So true. But
I really, throughout my life, I've known that God wanted to use me and that he had a purpose for me. And I will gladly take the depression and the body issues if that means that I can relate to somebody and help them have hope in Jesus through these issues.
Yeah. Can I ask, so like, what do you do when you don't currently have hope in Jesus with these issues?
Actually, it's really cool. I just met another therapist that had this line on her website, and it's something that I've believed since grad school, is that a counselor's role is to hold hope for you while you can't hold it for yourself. So even if you come to me and you feel like you're beyond hope, I can still see the good parts of you, and I can still have that hope for you until you're able to pick it up again for yourself. And so that's where, I mean, it could be a professional counselor, but you might also have a friend or a family member who can hold the hope for you.
Yeah.
And even if you don't feel like you got a great connection with Jesus right now, like, make sure there's people around you who do, because they will be able to carry you through. And I think Jesus understands that sometimes we feel like we're beyond the point of no return, and that he puts those people in our lives to give us that glimpse of hope just at the right moment.
Yeah, that's really good. So what would you say to someone listening who has a friend who they feel like does really need to go to counseling? Some people tend to be those people that everyone kind of dumps their junk on, and you end up carrying more than you should carry. Like, you want to carry hope for people, but then you also, I don't know, some people have a hard time. I'm kind of like, go to a counselor. But I've also been called abrasive and abrupt and not that nice. And so for someone who is way nicer than me and wants to have a conversation with a friend, they just feel like needs to go to counseling. Are there some special counseling words that they could say?
Well, I think, like you said before, there's a stigma. And that is one of the barriers that people have. And if you're the type of friend that is always like gathering other people's problems, like, maybe talk about how you're thinking about seeing a therapist, or talk about your previous experience in therapy and how it was beneficial to you. And that can make it seem a lot more accessible to your friend who needs it. And if you haven't ever been in therapy, then, you know, you could consider that, or you could just maybe explore that with your friend. Like, what do you think this would be like? And what if we did a little research in our community about who's out there? I think this could be a really cool resource for us.
That's a good idea. I like it. You're good at answering questions.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
Okay, so I wanted to do a lightning round. You know about these. Are you ready?
Well, I guess I'm as ready as I can be.
Yes, because you don't know what I'm about to ask you. Perfect. Okay, so what do you most look forward to about getting old?
Not caring so much about what people think about me.
That's good. How is it that they can get there?
Just... I don't know, but my mom is there. Great.
So good. Is it great for her? Is it great for you, though, too?
Just... It's more great for her than other people, probably.
I love it. Okay, if money was no object, where would you live? But you live in Southern California, so.
I love where I live. People like complain about the taxes and the liberal mumbo jumbo, but I love it here. I go to the beach, I go to the mountains, I have amusement parks, so, like, I have no snow that I have to shovel off my driveway. I'm pretty happy here.
Sweet.
But I do want to visit Scotland, though.
Have you ever been?
No.
Yeah, me either.
But I read a lot of books from there.
All right. Sounds good. Okay. What's the strongest animal that you think that you could fight and win using just your bare hands?
Probably not even a cat.
Not even a cat. Oh, I mean, cats have those claws.
Yeah, they scratch you.
Maybe like a gerbil?
No, I would feel really bad if I squished a gerbil.
That's
like,
true.
I'm not an animal person either. I'm like, oh, you have fur. Don't touch me.
That's true. Okay. I was thinking I could probably win over my new little puppy. But
that's terrible.
Well, I'm not fight and kill. Just like,
oh, okay.
They just need to know that you're in charge of them.
You're the boss. Okay.
Yes. I don't know. The first thing that came to my mind was a raccoon, but I don't think I could actually
win.
They're
scrappy.
That's true. I just don't know. Raccoon just kept. Maybe I just need to subconsciously fight a raccoon or something.
I'd be happy if I can overpower my 3-year-old.
No kidding. No kidding. Sometimes that is impossible. Okay, what's the grossest thing that you have ever drunk? Drunk. I never know which one. What's the past tense of drink?
Drink.
Okay.
I think. Probably, does pee count? Because I have 2 little boys and I had to change diapers and stuff. So.
And they just got it in your mouth?
Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's so gross. That counts. Definitely counts. Okay, then finally, what is something you just can't stop talking about?
Want like the serious answer or the silly answer?
Give me both.
Okay, so I don't read that much because I run a business and I have 3 little kids. But when I do read, I'm always like super amazed that people have these brilliant ideas and they put them in books like every time. Recently, I read this book called The Intentional Family by William Dougherty. And it is about creating rituals of connection for your family so that rather than being like chaotic and disconnected, you're actually like really purposeful and intimate as a family. And I thought it was really practical and had some good ideas. So I'm going to be using some of that in my own family and in an upcoming parenting workshop.
Okay. Is it related to like times of the day or?
Yeah, some of it talks about like, what do you do with leaving the house, coming back into the house, eating dinner, bedtime, then like family holidays, what do you do as couples? Like for every kind of aspect of family life, he has like some suggestions on like, how do you create meaningful time?
Oh, that's really neat. Oh, I want to check that out. Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Now give me the not serious one.
Okay. Since I live where it's 110 degrees.
Listen, nobody feels bad for you. You live in Southern California. I just want to say that.
Well, there's a lot of sweating here and... Mm-hmm. So I wear like dresses almost every day to work because it's too hot to wear slacks here.
Yes.
And so I just this year discovered that there's like these little undershorts where it's kind of like Spanx, but not so super tight, suck you in, but just like keep your thighs from touching each other under your dress. This is like life changing for me.
Is there like a certain brand you like or they're just shorts?
Whatever is on sale in the intimate apparel section at Target.
Oh, okay. I didn't even know that was a thing. I mean, I've heard of Spanx.
Yeah,
but.
Seriously. It's a thing. Like, you can wear shorts under your dress. Plus, when you go to church and your 3-year-old lifts up your skirt, you're not flashing everybody.
Oh, my goodness. So good. Everybody wins in that situation.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm trying to explore wearing dresses. And I tend to wear them on really windy days. I don't. Yeah. I haven't gotten it right yet.
Yeah, you got to check if the trees are blowing, you put pants on.
I know, it's true. I don't think about it, but anyway, yes. Good. Well, I'm going to look up some of those shorts.
Okay.
Awesome. Well, seriously, Anne, thank you so much. This was really helpful, and I hope it really blesses a lot of people.
I hope so too, Emily. I'm so grateful for you for giving me this opportunity.
I hope you enjoyed that. It was really fun getting to know Anne more. I have a couple things I want to say. Regarding depression specifically. Can we feel down because of hormones and because of biology? Absolutely. Can we also feel down and depressed when we are spending all of our time thinking about ourselves? Could depression for some of us be less of a biology problem and more of a navel-gazing problem? Yeah, I think that's true too. I know from being on both sides of that I sometimes can't get out of it, regardless of how I got into it, if I don't have outside help. Maybe you're feeling down, but it's just situational. Maybe you've got a lot of stress at work. Maybe you have a stressful child. Maybe you're caring for aging parents. Maybe your own aging has gotten you down. There's lots of reasons for feeling meh in this fallen world that we live in. The second thing I wanted to say is if you do decide to go to a counselor, if they say a bunch of stuff that does not line up with your convictions and your beliefs, you don't have to keep going. Plenty of counselors are way off. You know how I know that? Because they're people. And you and I have both known enough people to know that some people are way off. I also want to talk about EMDR. That is specifically to help us process trauma so we don't keep living feeling like we're going through that trauma. Something I love that my counselor does is she has told me she prays for me while she does EMDR with me. And I've seen so much benefit from it. So just so you know, it's not witchcraft. Not that anybody thinks it is, but you might be wondering. It's not. So what will your strategy to struggle well be based on what Anne said? Anne mentioned some links for counselors and some postpartum depression resources that she has. If you are interested in those, I would go to strugglewellproject.com/podcast, and those links are going to be in the show notes. Anne also talked about how she has some boundaries in place for when she can tell that she's heading into a depression. It's always good for us, regardless of which ditch we end up in. Mine, like I've said 1,000 times, is depression. It's always good when we are not struggling to figure out what will help us when we are struggling. For me, I have 4 main ones. Number 1, I reach out to my trusted girlfriends who I know will pray for me. And I do that because I would like to isolate and I would like no one to know. So the first thing I do is let the people closest to me know what's going on. The second thing I do is I cancel plans, even if they're fun plans. Just a couple weeks ago, I didn't go to a really fun party because I could tell things were not right in my brain. And the reason I cancel my plans is because I need to spend time with God. I need to get quiet. If that is worshiping, if it's praying, if it's reading the Bible, I just cancel what I'm doing and make that the priority to get myself thinking about truth. The third thing is, and this is silly, but I just want to be in my bed. So I take a shower and I get ready because it's the opposite of what I want to do. And I always feel better after a shower. And then the fourth thing is just get outside. Go on a walk or even just go sit in the sun or sit by some water, just whatever, get outside. So those are the things that I put in place so that when I'm feeling junky, I can at least kind of go on autopilot and get those things done. And like she says, it really does get easier. You can identify what's happening quicker. And because of that, I really think I come out of it faster, which is great. It would be even greater if it just went away, but I also know it helps me depend on the Lord, and it's part of my process of sanctification, which is becoming more like Christ, which is part of walking with Him. So I have a feeling it's going to be sticking around for a while, and I'm okay with that. Finally, if none of this even remotely sounds like anything you have ever experienced, first of all, that is amazing, and I'm so glad to hear that. Maybe this week you struggle well by holding the hope for somebody who just cannot find it. If you're someone who trends toward hopeful, that's amazing, and you need to really look outward to see who needs that right now. Hey ladies, if this chat impacted you, or if you have a friend who you think would really be blessed by hearing this, go ahead and share it. Other than all the ridiculous marketing things I asked you guys to do, which I don't think you actually do, sharing the show is the greatest way for it to get into the hands of all the right people. So next week is going to be an entire talk with my sister Katie in Struggling Sisters style on identity. She's a new Christian, and so she talks honestly about what does it mean to have your identity in Christ. She has a lot of great identity questions, and you're just going to love her the more you get to know her. This conversation was really special to me, so make sure you're subscribed to this show so you don't miss it. Also, really quick before we go, if you are wanting to get a handle on wellness for you in 2019, please join the group that I'm hosting going through the Wellness Revelation. It's a 9-week book study. It's all online, but in a conference call setting, so we all get to talk to each other and hear each other and see each other and make connections with one another. There'll be about 20 people in the group. There's about 10 spots left. I don't think I'm going to have enough margin to do it more than once next year. So if this is even remotely interesting, please go to strugglewellproject.com/wellness and you can check out all the information about it, but sign up if you want to. I would love to have you in that class. All right, let me pray for us. God, thank you that the book of Isaiah says that you are the wonderful counselor. You are our ultimate source of wisdom. Thank you that your word also says you will give us as much wisdom as we ask for, like an abundance of it. You've got all of it. And if your children want it, you're going to give it. Thank you also that you gift people with special gifts to be able to counsel people who need direction. Lord, help us to not be afraid of things just because we don't understand them. If it's counseling, if it's medication, if it's loved ones, if it's you, help us not to run away from things just because we don't get it. But Lord, help us not to blindly follow what other humans say. I pray that you'll help us to test everything and hold on to the good, just like it says to do in 1 Thessalonians. Lord, I ask that you encourage these ladies this week, like only you can. God, would you help them to struggle well in their search for their identity? Where does their value lie? What makes them worth it? I pray that you'd give them specific glimpses of how great you think they are this week. In Jesus' name, amen.